Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. So fun. We have such a fun show for you today. I'm just thrilled to death to have relationship coach and author Angeline Hart, which, by the way, she's the best name on the planet for a relationship coach. It's definitely fate that she has such a beautiful name. And she wrote this book with her husband. And, you know, so it's so beautiful to watch their relationship, Dixon Schwenk. They wrote this book together called Gorillas Make Great Lovers. And this is a book where they've really identified 10 types of men and given them each an animal name based on their focus in life and their relationship style. So like we all sort of know already when we hear about a shark, what kind of person that is, maybe somebody who's focused on financial success, or a wolf might be focused on sexual conquest. And using this gorilla quiz, women can identify what type of man that they might be dating or married to or contemplating. And men can take the same quiz the guy's version of the quiz to self-identify. So it's a really fun way, playful, powerful way to look at this whole dating and mating dance that we do, which certainly we all need help with. I know I do. So Angeline, welcome so much to the show.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, Lisa. Thank you for inviting me.
So tell me a little bit about how did you come to start seeing these 12 types of men, and why did you give them animal names?
Okay, well, I've actually been coaching women since I was 16 and started dating, and my girlfriends started asking me for help because they thought I was doing a good job of finding good guys. But I was probably in my 30s when one of my girlfriends said to me, "I just can't find any good guys." And I said, "Well, I'll help you." And she'd been married before and divorced for quite a few years. And I said, "Let's go out someplace and we'll see what kind of men you're attracted to." So we went to what used to be called a singles bar when people used to smoke. And there were lots of men in there and women. And I said to her, "Look around the room and pick out who you're attracted to." So she's, you know, looking through the gloom, and she says, points at this guy about 20 feet away. And she says, "That guy over there." And Lisa, I'm not kidding. I looked at him and I jerked back and I said, "But I can see he's trouble from here." And she leans forward, peering that direction, and says, "What can you see?" And at that point is when I realized a lot of women don't know how to recognize good men that are all around them. And so I started trying to describe to her how to recognize a good man. And I said, "Well, let's see, he needs to be comfortable in his own skin. He needs to be masculine, but not that macho bragging kind of thing. Other people need to be comfortable around him and not feel competitive or put down. He needs to have a warm, gentle heart." And at that point, I realized two things. I was talking about my father, and that in my mind, I saw an image of a gorilla walking through the jungle. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Kind of like a gorilla." And over time, what I've come to realize is that if I say to a woman, "So I want you to start looking for good men, men like Matt Damon," what she will do is she will go out into the world and she looks all around for men who look like Matt Damon, which of course doesn't work. But if I say to her, "If you go out and you look for a gorilla, and gorillas have these qualities, they're easygoing, they're not judgmental, people feel comfortable around them," they're able to then start recognizing those qualities. Mm. And so I was just using the term gorilla, and then I fell in love with my man, who is not a gorilla. And he said, I hear you talking to women about gorillas, but what am I? And my husband is kind of a loner. He's kind of aloof. He likes to be really well put together, and he's very conscious of his self-image. And
is he a panther?
He's a panther, absolutely. See, you're totally getting it, because once you learn the system, you will recognize men everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And so I said to him, well, let me see, what are you? And I saw this image of a panther walking through the jungle, and I said, let's call you a panther. And from that, it just kind of grew until I felt like I discovered all the different types. And there were 10 plus 2 that every woman wants to avoid. And so there's a total of 12. But the animal names is just, I mean, like, for instance, the rhinos are the bodybuilders, the ones who are really into sculpting the body and focusing on, you know, getting to the gym, eating the right protein shakes. They spend a lot of time, effort, and energy doing that. And the owls are the intellectuals. And you mentioned the wolf and the shark. They all kind of, they fit the image. But it really, really helps women when they can take my quiz and they start identifying, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. This is about him. And in particular, if it's women who've been in abusive relationships, most abusive relationships also the men, or if it's a man who's being abused, they end up taking a lot of blame. The abuser wants to blame them for their bad behavior. And
yeah.
Women come out of those relationships feeling emotionally damaged and doubting themselves. And when they take my quiz about this man in their life who was abusive, and in many cases, the several men in their life who were abusive, and they take the quiz and they start realizing, oh, it really is about them. Mm-hmm. It's not that I did something wrong. I didn't have dinner ready on the table on time, and that's why he beat me up. It's because he's an abusive, beater-up kind of guy. And so mm-hmm. it frees women up to be able to be more objective about who the different men are in their life and who they really are. Does that make sense?
Well, it's really great. And it seems a lot like archetype work, you know, and animals have their own archetypes. And I love to work with archetypes, because I feel like we all have that sort of instinctual knowing of what an archetype is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And people ask me if there are archetypes, and people also ask me if it's related to astrological signs and different things like that. But between you and me and all the people who are listening to you, I'm pretty smart, but I'm not smart enough to have created this system, which works so well to help clarify things. I believe that I was inspired. I believe I had heavenly or spiritual or whatever you want to call it, help to come up with this.
Yeah, I get that too. And God knows I am a woman that have struggled to find a relationship that works for me. So I'm totally psyched that there might be a system that demystifies it and makes it sort of, you know, like how, and you know, I think of myself like I'm a psychic.
Yeah.
You know, how can I not know what's going on? You know, like how can these things surprise me? So I really liked this. It seems like super powerful and useful, but I'm so curious. Tell me about the two types that no woman should ever date. I have to know about those two.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say that every man is a composite. Every man is a blend or a mix of all these different types. And when a woman takes a quiz about a man, or when the man takes the guy's gorilla quiz about himself, it's going to show how much of each of the 12 types are in that particular person. Mm. And so if I take the quiz about my husband, Lisa, and you take the quiz about my husband, we're going to have a slightly different, it's still probably going to show the same major characteristic, his panther side, which is really strong. But it's, the mix is going to be slightly different because my perception and your perception are different. But we relate to men on the basis of our perception.
Right.
And so sometimes women say to me, well, how do I know if I have the right answer? You always have the right answer because your perception is how you relate to him. And so when you do the quiz about them, it's going to give you a clearer picture of how you perceive him and therefore how you're going to relate to him. So the two types that you want to have easy-weensy little bits, if any, of in this mix of the man that you're doing the quiz about or that you're considering dating or marrying are rat and crab. And rat and crab are not real manimal types. What they are is defense mechanisms. They are ways that these men have armored themselves to protect themselves when they were young. For example, crab are men who are focused on criticism, finding flaws. And probably they grew up in a home where a lot of criticism was dumped on them. This was the main way that people in their family communicated. And they learned to defend themselves by criticizing back. And so it's their way of feeling like, I'm a good person because I can find the flaws in you. And for instance, on that show that, you know, where they have America's Got Talent, there's four mm-hmm. people on that judging panel who are critiquing
right.
the performer.
They're so mean about it.
But there's only one of them that makes people cry.
Yeah.
The other three, they're still critiquing. They're still finding flaws. But it's not from a place of this critical, I'm better than you are. I'm distancing myself from who you are. Some of the other people who are critiquing are coming from a place of empathy for the person on the stage.
Right.
But Simon, bless his heart, is
he's pretty
totally
crabby.
Different. Yeah, he's much more crabby. And that's really difficult to live with if you're dealing with somebody who's constantly finding flaws in everything you do. They're always picking it apart. Unfortunately, my first husband had that quality, and it's a lot of what drove our marriage apart. But the other one is rat. And rat, these are the men who have learned to defend themselves and their vulnerable insides by blaming their negative results on somebody else. So maybe they were in second or third grade and they came home with a bad report card and they say to their mom and dad, it's not my fault. The teacher just doesn't like me. She's biased. She likes somebody else better. The kids in my class cheat. You know, that's why they got better grades. Always blaming somebody else. Because probably this child, when they were young, was not given room to be able to be themselves and make mistakes as part of their growing. And so they now cover their mistakes by blaming somebody else. And this is really, really hard to deal with because you can't change and grow if you can't acknowledge that you have a problem or a weakness. And so, for instance, in AA, you have to start by saying, I'm an alcoholic. You have to acknowledge the problem, and then you can move forward. And a rat doesn't acknowledge he has a problem. It's somebody else's fault. You know, the prison is full of rats, and they all say, I didn't do it. And if I
right.
did, it's because she made me. She didn't do what I told her to, so of course I had to beat her up or whatever. And they blame the results on somebody else. So it's really extremely difficult to work with someone who has a strong amount of blame in their profile.
Right, strong criticism of the crab and the strong blame of the rat. And probably,
right.
when, like you said, I love it that you said those are defensive mechanisms. It's like somebody who's really budged in that and they're not, they don't have a willingness to get out of that or look at it, it's really yeah. hard to work with inside of a relationship.
So just to give a little bit of hope for people who are already in a relationship, I mentioned that my first husband had an uncomfortable amount of crab. And as daughters do, my oldest daughter followed my pattern. And she married a man who had a lot of crab. And I didn't know this system at this time, but I explained to her my concern about him and his negativity. And she felt she prayed about it and felt compelled this was the person to marry. The good news is that before she married him, they talked about it. He acknowledged he had a problem with being critical, and he made a commitment that he wanted to change and grow. They have now been married 24 years. They have struggled. There have been some really difficult times. There's never been a question in my mind or my daughter's mind that he loves her. That doesn't mean he doesn't say painful things or jump too quickly or find flaws. But over time, he has really changed. And he is now much more comfortable for anybody to be around, even for me to be around him. But that process is long and slow. And if she hadn't been dedicated to that marriage and he hadn't been dedicated to that marriage and committed to his growth, I don't think they would have made it through.
Right.
So it's not easy, but it can be done. And here's the super good news. Underneath that crab armor that he had built is a playful panda. My daughter, my oldest daughter, is a stereotypical oldest child. Responsible, serious, dependable, accountable, all very serious kind of person, very successful also in business. But playful is exactly what she needs. And that's who her heart was relating to underneath his crab exterior.
Have you ever thought about doing this kind of same thing with women, the types of women?
People ask me that all the time. And Lisa, the absolute truth is, I love men. I have studied men for many, many years. I know them and understand them better than I understand women. And on top of that, the whole reason my husband and I wrote the book, and it's focused toward women, although the principles in it, men and women can use just fine, is because in general, women are more willing to do the work, to try to find out how to make a relationship work, to find the right person, those kind of things. And so they're more likely to pick up the book, read it, find out what to do to be able to create a long-term loving relationship.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So let's say that somebody might be like me, single and wanting to have a, I've been married twice, and then I've been single, and they were long-term relationships, but I'm single now for about 6 years, which I can't even believe it, but it's true. And I'm like, now my kids are grown up, and I finished writing my book, and I'm like, okay, it's time for a relationship. And I, you know, it's scary to dip your toe back in the water after a long time and after a lot of heartbreak. So what is somebody like me, how does somebody like me use this material to get a good outcome in relationships? How do I start?
Super good question. And there are a lot of women in your situation. And it's not only scary to put your toe back in that and go out and pick up a lot of rocks, because it's a numbers game to some extent, and look under each rock to see, is the man that I'm looking for here? How about this one? Yeah, I mean, you end up going on a lot of different dates. You end up doing a lot of interviews to zero in on the kind of man that you want. So it's not only scary, but here's the bottom line. People say to me, you know, I want a relationship. And I say, okay, tell me, what are you hoping to get out of a relationship? And they'll tell me, well, I want a companion. I don't want to be alone when I get old. It'd be nice to have somebody's income, too, so we could have a nicer house. I'd like a safe sex partner. I'd like somebody, you know, to go to dinner with. I'd like someone to share our interests with. And I say to them, if what you're looking for is that dream picture, that lovely fantasy that all the media, the movies, and the romance novels put out there for us, I hate to tell you this, but every one of those things that you just named, you are going to come to a time in a relationship when it's not going to be present. He's going to lose his job and you won't have the income to keep the nice house. Or something's going to happen in your relationship and he's going to cheat and bring home an STD. Or you're thinking you're going to have this nice companion for life and he gets disabled and now he's in a wheelchair and you have to deal with all of those struggles. Any or all of those things could be, and probably to some extent, are going to show up in your relationship, along with some of all the good stuff. But there's one thing that you can guarantee you will get in any relationship, particularly a committed relationship. And if you go into a relationship with this one goal in mind and this understanding of what you can predict, you can be happy in your relationship and build a really great relationship. And that one thing that you can get is personal growth. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a situation like you're in, Lisa, where you've already created a pretty darn nice life for yourself, you've got your kids raised, you've got a great career, you know, you're still great looking, everything's going well, and now you're going to add another person to it, it doesn't become easy. You do get the companionship, you do get the good sex, you do get some things you're looking for, but you're also going to get challenges, from the leaves the cap off the toothpaste, to snores when he sleeps, to he is a different political party than you are, to there's going to be challenges, there's going to be complications. And if you go into the relationship hoping that it's going to be all unicorns and roses and rainbows, then you're disappointed. But if you go into it realizing, I want to grow in my life, I want to become bigger, stronger, better, I want to be more loving, more understanding, you know, you want to help heal the world. If you go into it with those kind of goals, then you will achieve what you really want. For example, my daughter that I mentioned earlier, stereotypical oldest child, she's serious and methodical and linear thinking and all those kind of things, but she also was very compliant. And what she learned being married to her husband, who's a good man, always was a good man, and he's honest and responsible and all those things, but what she learned is how to stand up, how to be able to set and manage boundaries, to the point that she's a realtor now and a very successful realtor. She is an excellent negotiator on behalf of her clients. But she learned that and developed that as part of her personal growth in learning to work with her man and his challenges, while he learned to be softer, to be more empathetic, to be more willing to listen, to not make judgment. So they both grew, and in that growing, they grew together and became closer and more tender and sweeter, and they have a really lovely relationship now. So I'm not
You know, and I would honestly say the same thing to my clients. I would say, oh, because people always ask me, I want my soulmate. And I'm like, oh boy, get ready, you know, your soulmate's going to come along and like take up all of your stuff and put it in your face.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. And like, if you're ready for that, then soulmates are awesome.
Yes,
so this is so awesome, Angeline. How can people get in touch with you? How can people take your quiz, read your book? How can we get all that?
Okay. Well, my website is gorillalove.com. It's really easy. If you go to gorillalove.com, there's a little place you just click and it says take the Gorilla Love quizzes, and it'll take you to a page where a woman can click and take the Gorilla quiz. A man can click and take the guy's Gorilla quiz. Either of them can click and take the maturity quiz, which will give you another way of looking at someone to be able to see, okay, maybe they're a cute, seductive, darling wolf, and I'm really attracted to that sexy type, but are they emotionally mature enough that it's not all about conquest and just getting the next one, the next one, the next one, but is it actually about being able to love and build a deeper relationship? So in any case, with all the different 10 types, they could be emotionally immature or emotionally mature, and it makes a big difference in the success of your relationship. But I want to go back to one more thing earlier. You kind of asked me, what can a woman like yourself do? And I wanted to, first of all, give you the warning label, be prepared. But what we literally do, you mentioned that you were married twice and that you've had several relationships. And if I may use you as an example, when I'm working with a client, the first thing, or one of the first things that we do, is we start looking at what are the patterns. Because we tend to repeat, even though we don't want to, we tend to repeat and be attracted magnetically with our energy to the types that are familiar to us. Our amygdala sorts through everybody that is out there and goes for what is familiar. And so, for example, I said to a young woman one time, I want you to now start learning how to recognize, she'd had so many abusive relationships, starting with her father, who was really abusive. You need to start recognizing good men out there in the world. So I want you to go out this week, and your assignment is to look for men who are behaving well. And she said to me, like what? I mean, she literally couldn't imagine what would a good man be doing? How would he behave? How would I recognize one of these? And so I gave her some specifics, such as, all right, if you see a little girl who has fallen and skinned out her knee, and her daddy bends down next to her and says, honey, we can take care of this. We'll get it fixed. Let me kiss it for you. If you see a man who is walking along and he's got a baby in one arm and his arm around his woman with on the other side. If you see a man who's leaving the grocery store and he's carrying flowers with a big smile on his face. If you see a young boy, maybe 10 years old, who's pushing his sibling on the swings and laughing with them as they play together, you start looking for, and when you start learning to recognize that, then they start showing up in your radar, because otherwise we're literally blind to finding what we really want. So it's a matter of changing your patterns, helping you learn how to recognize what you really want, and then you can find them out there. Then you will literally attract them.
Oh, I love it. And I love this conversation. I'm so sad that we're out of time now, because I feel like we could keep talking about this for hours. And I know everybody also out there, not everybody, but probably many, many of our listeners are hanging on every word that you're saying, just like I am. So I encourage all of you guys to go really look at Angeline Hart's work and her amazing book, Gorillas Make Great Lovers, and check out her stuff. She does coaching too. So if this is appealing to you, jump on her website and snap up a coaching package with her. So thank you so much for being with us today here, Angeline, and thank you for writing that wonderful book.
Well, blessings to you and to all your listeners. I'm with you. Let's heal the world. Let's do it one relationship at a time.
Yes, awesome. And thank all of you guys for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one relationship at a time right here on Empower Radio.